It was in 1928 at St Mary's Hospital in London, there worked a professor. He was clearly in holiday mode, and he obviously wasn't very tidy. He was off on a 2-week vacation. And he didn't bother clearing up after his latest experiments. When he came back from his holidays, he found mould on his petri dishes. As he began to clean the mould, he noticed something of great interest. Where the mould had grown, the bacteria were absent. The bacteria were everywhere, but they weren't on the mould. And Alexander Fleming had accidentally discovered penicillin, and we have our antibiotics today. One small event that has changed the world. And now we live in a world where we fear the day when we don't have antibiotics that work because they have become resistant to bacteria. Now, this psalm is the shortest out of 150. In fact, it's actually the shortest chapter in the Bible. That doesn't mean you're going to get the shortest sermon on record. But this one psalm is a world changer. Just like the discovery of penicillin changed the world, this short psalm reaches right out across the world. The big difference is that penicillin was an accidental discovery, whilst the global message of Psalm 117 is sovereign by design. It was Spurgeon who said, "This psalm, which is very little in its letter, is exceedingly large in its spirit, for bursting beyond all bounds of race or nationality, it calls upon mankind to praise the name of the Lord." And there is that real sense that this psalm, Psalm 117, is prophetic. After all, it is quoted in the New Testament. And it speaks from within the depths of an old covenant era right into the new covenant age, the age of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this short psalm is as exciting as it is far-reaching. And I want us to spend our time together tonight just unpacking some of the thoughts within it. But before we dive right into it, let's just pause for a moment and see the context. Because when we see the context of this psalm, it makes the content even more stunning. Now, we don't know who the author is, but we do know that the author is a Jew. The Jews were, of course, God's chosen people. They were special, chosen by God. They were blessed, and they were privileged. So often, though, they didn't appreciate the privileges that were theirs. But as far as they were concerned, God was for them and for them alone. The nations out there who weren't Jews, they were lost in their idolatry, and the God of Israel was not their God. They didn't enjoy the favor or the knowledge or the blessing of God. And Israel was quite happy with this position, except so often Israel turned away from the one true living God. If you want an example of this, turn your mind to Jonah. I think you were looking at Jonah this morning, weren't you? Jonah is told by God to go and preach to the Ninevites a message of repentance. The Ninevites were not Jews. And to put it mildly, Jonah is not happy. You see, he has this suspicion in the back of his mind that if he goes off to Nineveh and he preaches a message of repentance, it might just be that the people might listen. And they might turn to God, and God might forgive them. And how awful that would be in the mind of Jonah. In fact, the most interesting part of the book of Jonah comes towards the end, where Jonah goes and preaches his message of repentance, and then he goes outside the city, he sits underneath a bush that starts to die, and he longs that God's judgment would fall on 120,000 people. You see, his thinking is Israel should be the only recipient of God's grace. Jonah's not signed up for the other nations being a beneficiary of God's grace. They should be under God's judgment. That is the Jews' thinking in the Old Testament. And that's what makes this psalm so stunning. Three things I want us to look at tonight. What the world should do. Number two, why the world should do it. And number three, who the world should worship. So number one then, what the world should do. What does the psalm say? Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. So this is the Jewish psalmist moved by the Spirit of God to utter these astonishing words. Did you grab the enormity of the words? All the nations should praise the Lord. All the nations of earth. All the peoples should praise the Lord. All the peoples of the earth. Now let's be quite clear tonight. To praise and extol the name of God goes way beyond just a knowledge of God. Many people in the Bible acknowledge God, but they never praised him. To praise and extol God incorporates relationship. You have to know God if you're going to worship him. When Israel praised and extolled God, they received the blessing of God's favor. They were beneficiaries of God's grace. Therefore, the psalmist is in effect saying, may the nations of the world receive your blessing. May the peoples of this earth receive your blessing. May everyone on planet earth know you and worship you. Now that is so much outside the mindset of the Old Testament Israelite. Yet it should really be no surprise at all. The covenant with Abraham, the one who started the nation of Israel. God says to Abraham, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Genesis chapter 12, verse 13. Many years later, as the gospel goes global, Paul has to deal with this same issue. I want you to start turning towards Romans chapter 15. In Romans, Paul has taken his readers through the theology of a global gospel. The centrality is the cross and the resurrection that is for the Jew and for the Gentile. And in Romans 9 to 11, Paul explains how the Gentiles have been grafted in. Now, the Judaistic believers have a problem with these Gentiles. The gospel belongs to the Jews, you know. And the Gentiles pride themselves that the gospel has left the Jews because they've rejected it and they've now received it. And Paul has to bring them back to basics. And in this context, Paul says these words in Romans 15, verse 7. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant to the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with this people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. Now, verse 11 in Romans 15 is a quote from Psalm 117. You see, God has fulfilled his global plan of salvation, that plan that was promised to the patriarchs, that plan that weaves its way all through the pages of the Old Testament. And the end result is that the Gentiles become the spiritual children of Abraham. And the Gentiles end up glorifying God. That same point is also made as Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians 3 and verse 7. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So according to the New Testament, what should the world do? Praise God and enjoy his blessings. And that is exactly what the psalmist desires in this psalm that we're looking at. One other brief mention, if I may. This is incredibly relational. You see, the word for the Lord here in Psalm 117 is Yahweh, God's personal name. The name of God that is so special, the Jew wouldn't take it upon their lips. And the psalmist says that the nations should praise Yahweh. And this is a global invitation. It is to enjoy the favor of God through relationship. A relationship that is brought about by and through Jesus Christ. Some lovely verses in Revelation. Revelation is one of my favorite books. And it talks there about God wiping away the tears from the eyes of his children. I don't know if I cried tonight, how many people would get a tissue and come and wipe my eyes? My wife would. I think that might be the limit. It's incredibly personal. That is the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. And so today, we live in the gospel age. But the call still goes out right round this world. Praise God, all you nations. And right round planet Earth, there are people who are exalting the name of our God. Unknown millions in China will have done so already and gone to bed by now. Numbers in Africa will have done so. South America's millions are probably at it right now. And then you've got the Koreas. But there are still places in this world where this is not happening. It's like praise is rising from right round the world. But if you look to Central Asia, there is a vacuum. In Eastern Turkey, there are an average of only 10 Turkish believers out of every 1 million. 10 out of 1 million. And that is replicated in other places. And it's somehow it feels that there is a forgotten area when it comes to the gospel. Central Asia is the least reached region of the world with the gospel. And yet our prayer tonight should be, praise the Lord, you nation of Turkey. Praise the Lord, you nation of Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan. You see, the psalmist exhorts all people to extol the Lord. And the gospel has gone worldwide across so many people groups. And yet there are people who have still not heard. What was that figure we saw a little earlier? 1, 2, or 3? 2, wasn't it? 2 billion. Amongst the people groups of Eastern Turkey, you can find the Zazar people. Zazar people are of Turkish descent. There are about 2 million of them. And at this point in time, there are no known believers in that people group. Doesn't mean that there aren't any believers. It means that we're not aware of any believers. And they haven't got a Bible in their own language either. And so our prayer tonight is, may all peoples, all people groups extol your name, O Lord. May the Zazar people worship you, O Lord. And if you want to put it in terms of the disciples' prayer that we've already prayed tonight, what are some of the words that we say every Sunday? We pray, your kingdom come. Isn't that what we're praying for each time we say that prayer that Jesus taught us? May your kingdom come. Here in the UK, where we're wandering further and further away from God's truth, may your kingdom come in Central Asia and in other far-flung places of this world. And that's why the task of mission goes on. Across the whole region of Central Asia, across the whole world, and the job of mission here in Tunbridge Wells. The task is unfinished. So that's what the world should do. Let's move on really quickly to number two. Why the world should do it. Okay, so we thought about what the world should do, and now the question is why? And the psalmist doesn't leave us in any doubt at all. He gives us the reason. Great is his love towards us, and this is a steadfast love. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. If you didn't know it tonight, the gospel is good news. Do you know this world desperately needs good news? And the gospel is good news. The good news that runs right through the Old Testament. Genesis 1 and 2, God makes everything perfect. Genesis chapter 3, we as mankind wreck it. And the rest of the Old Testament leads us into God's plan to redeem a people. You know, sometimes we hear people say, you know, I don't like the God of the Old Testament. That is quite ridiculous. Because the God has not changed. And if you're in any doubt as to God's character, listen to the Old Testament psalmist. For great is his love towards us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. That's an Old Testament writer speaking about God before Jesus ever came. The Old Testament is extremely special. God reveals himself through the Old Covenant. In the Ten Commandments, we see something of God's revealed character. But the New Testament revelation of God through Jesus Christ is incredible. A Saviour who kept the law for us perfectly and satisfied all its demands. God who sent his Son into this world to go to a cross to die, to be raised again. The enormity of what God has done is so great, so fantastic, so magnificent that the angels in heaven are gobsmacked. They just can't understand why God would ever have done this. That's exactly the point that Paul makes when he writes in 2 Corinthians 3. He compares the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant was great. You can't just dismiss it. But the new covenant is amazing beyond belief. And so through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, through his resurrection, through the fact that he conquered sin, death and hell, we can know salvation. We can put our trust in Jesus. We can be made joint heirs with him. And we can enjoy a saving grace that is offered to any who will receive it. Do you know the world desperately needs this good news? And in Jesus Christ, there is the best news ever. Can I tell you tonight that if you know and love Jesus Christ, you are the most privileged person on planet Earth. There is no one who is more privileged than you are. But so many in this world have not heard this good news. And when they do, so often they think that it has to be earned. That you have to do something. That you have to live a good life. That you have to earn some kind of merit points. And you know, that's what's so amazing about grace. God's gift of grace is the most generous gift. It's free to us, but it cost him everything. During Ramadan, that ended just a short while ago, Muslims fast during daylight hours, and it involves getting credits, so they believe. But I learned something a few weeks ago that I didn't know. That a Muslim who is fasting will be quite keen, in some circumstances, to cook a meal for someone who isn't a Muslim. Because by cooking a meal and smelling the smells and coming close to the food by not touching it, they believe they get extra browning points by doing that. And so often, when Muslims come face to face with the reality of the gospel, it is the grace of God through Jesus Christ that stuns and touches them. The grace of God is truly astonishing. It astonishes me every day. But the task of delivering good news and the message of grace, the grace of God, across Central Asia is huge. 500 million people in bondage, lost to sin, let's speak quite candidly, on their way to hell. Oh, how they need to hear about the grace of God. But our God is faithful. He's completely trustworthy. He's dependable. He's reliable. That's true of God by his very character, the very essence of his being. And that's what the workers in Central Asia prove time and time again in their lives. Do you know the politics change? The countries open and close their borders. The persecution sometimes intensifies and sometimes it recedes. But throughout it all, God is faithful. His faithfulness endures forever and it never runs out. That's what the psalmist wants us to grasp this evening. And so we can rely on God completely because every promise he has made, he keeps. Everything he says, he does. You know, I do try to keep my promises. I try really hard. But I remember several occasions when my kids were younger, I made a promise. And I couldn't deliver the promise because circumstances changed. God's never in that situation. He always has the power to deliver. So, what the world should do, why the world should do it, and lastly, and quite briefly, number three, who the world should worship. Now, this short psalm ends where it starts, praise the Lord. The word in the Hebrew is the word that we get our word hallelujah from, praise you, Yahweh. Do you remember what Jesus said on Palm Sunday? The crowds were shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The religious leaders asked Jesus to kindly tell the crowds to shut up. And Jesus says, if they keep quiet, the stones will shout out in praise. Do you know, our God is worthy of all praise. And as we look around planet Earth with our mind's eye this evening, we want the peoples of this world to praise God. I hope tonight, hope after this weekend, you long that they would worship him and come to know the only one true loving God of grace. So we reach out with the good news wherever we are. You have a responsibility this week to reach out with the good news of Jesus. This morning in the ark, I got roped into the ark this morning. It was enjoyable, really. And we were talking to the youngsters there about having beautiful feet and the fact that if they put their trust in Jesus, all of them are called to be missionaries and all of us are called to tell people about Jesus. But I long that we're truly engaged with those who haven't had opportunity to hear. The 500 million of Central Asia who need a saviour. Those living in darkness. Those who've never heard. Those who need to experience the love and the grace of God. So we as a church must support 100% those that are sent out from us. We must keep praying. It's great that every time people come to the front here and pray, they pray for the mission partners. We need to keep on praying. We need to keep supporting them. We need to keep encouraging them. But maybe tonight, God is speaking right into your heart. Maybe there's that still, small voice that says, will you go? Will you get up and go to Central Asia? Being a missionary isn't magical. You don't just rock up in some country and announce you've come as a missionary. It's about taking your life to Central Asia, short term, long term, whatever it might be, and living it there for Jesus. Might God be calling you to get up and go? I don't want to pinch this morning's sermon. I didn't even hear it. But don't do what Jonah did and go the wrong way. Obey. And the task is not yet finished. The work goes on at home and abroad. But you know, one day the job will be done. And we'll praise God in a way when we're in heaven that we've never done before. And we'll enjoy his presence for the whole of eternity. But until that day comes, there's a job for us to do. And Jesus commands us to get out with the gospel. And God is faithful in supporting those who obey his command. Ultimately, what is this about? Praise the Lord. For every reason under the sun, God is worthy of praise and worship. And we get the opportunity to be part of that this evening. May God help us to rise to the challenge. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.